Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton. Happy New Year's Eve. We've got a great show tonight, but before I start, I just wanted to send my condolences to my people I consider friends. They've been wonderful to me since I've had the show, and they're extremely close to Dawn Wells, and sadly, we lost her today, and actually, we were working on getting her on the show, but she was under the weather, and my heart breaks for everybody who knew her personally and her fans. I'm a fan. It's just so sad. So today we have a great show. Bradley Server, he's the grandson of Curly Howard from the Three Stooges. We're going to talk to him about the craziness of his grandfather and keeping that legend alive. So before we start, let's just say thanks to our sponsors, the High Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, KWV Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and other stuff in Clifton, New Jersey. Their t-shirts are on our site. Syntech Productions in Oka Harbor, New Jersey. Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake. Cloison Designs in New Jersey. Think Big Picture LLC in New York. The Observer Newspaper, Kearny, New Jersey. Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey. GenieBottles.com and H21 Hand Sanitizer. Mr. Server, Bradley Server, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Joanne. I was just getting done in the shower. Hold on a second, dear. Oh, hold on. I am so sorry. I was running a little late, but I wanted to get cleaned up for the listeners. Hey, not to mention wipe off some of this 2020. It's just terrible.
Oh, God, you'll be in the shower forever wiping off this 2020.
Oh, wow. How are you, dear? I know it's a tough day today.
Oh, it's a tough day, yeah, work-wise. And then I just literally heard the news. I just logged off from my full-time job, my day gig, and at 7:30, and I went in to the house, and it popped up. I was like, oh, my God. I know a lot of people who know her very, very well, and we were actually talking about getting her on the show, and they said, oh, she's a little under the weather. I mean, you know, obviously I wasn't going to get details,
right.
And I didn't ask, you know. I said, well, when she's feeling better, you know, obviously, please, let's do this, you know. I would love to talk to her. Oh, I'm so sad for them. I can't even tell you. My heart is broken, especially especially for one specific person who I know was very, very close to her. And as soon as I heard, I texted him immediately. So he's out your way in California. So I just broke my heart. So how are you? What's going on?
Besides all of the bad stuff that's going on, I'm doing great. I mean, I'm the youngest grandson of Curly Howard from the Three Stooges. You can't get any better than that.
I know. Well, it's a crazy story. You didn't even know that he was your grandfather, right? You grew up watching him. What? Tell me about that.
Yeah, I grew up watching him just like every other kid. Came home from school, rushed home. Out in L.A. it was Channel 52 UHF, and came home to watch all the great shows, all the baby boomer shows that, of course, are, to this day, still the best. And Little Rascals, Kimba the White Lion, Speed Racer, but the Three Stooges was what we came home to watch. And Curly was my hero, was my brother's hero. And we came home for years, not knowing that it was our family, just that they were our favorites to watch. And my brother was playing the piano already, and he went to his first Broadway show with my grandmother, Elaine, and he loved it. And on the way home, he just kept saying, I want to be an actor, I want to be an actor, I want to be an actor. And after about 30 times, my grandmother said, you know what? It runs in the family. Your biological grandfather is Curly from the Three Stooges. That's how she dropped it on him, and then he came home and told me, and we were in a little bit of shock. Our hero is now our kin, which is
right.
But it's such an honor.
Why didn't she tell you guys? What was the reason she didn't say anything sooner?
Well, my mom was, of course, she was 8 when Curly passed. And my grandmother actually remarried when my mother was 2. So, you know, her relationship with Curly was, you know, a few visits here and there on the couple of times a month on weekends. He was out filming. He was doing events and stuff.
Yeah, he was busy.
And then he was sick also during that time. So she really grew up with her new father, which is my grandfather. His name was Moses or Mo. So I had a great uncle named Mo, and I had a grandfather named Mo. And my grandmother would have remarried a Larry. It would have been a whole another Three Stooges.
Right,
but anyway,
right.
she really just channeled, you know, Curly was pretty much a part of her younger part of her life. And of course, as we were brought up, we only knew our, you know, our grandfather that we knew. So they didn't really talk about it. They didn't talk about it much, really much at all. And they also, out of respect for my newer or my grandfather that I knew, they knew that he couldn't fill the shoes of Curly, even though he was an amazing, sweet man and abundantly talented as well. But he wasn't Curly Howard.
Right.
So we were just kind of grew up not really talking about it. And then, like I said, that one day when my brother came home and told me, then it's like, what do you do with something like that? Certainly no one's going to believe you.
Right, right. And did they?
No. And it, you know, we told maybe a few people. I told like my closest friend. I mean, he believed me. But, you know, people on the schoolyard, I think I was probably in second or third grade or fourth grade, you know, they're not going to believe something like that. So I was already at that age. Just, I mean, even not meeting Curly, the Howard bloodline is certainly in our blood. You know, my brother, my sister, and I were just, you know, crazies, right? So I was crazy to begin with, and had this personality that was a mile high, even at a young age. So I just wanted it to, you know, I wanted them to be entertained by who I was at that age, and even as I got older, it wasn't something that I really scouted off at, or it was more like, hey, that guy's, and people saying, oh, well, yeah, he acts that way because he's Curly's grandson. So that's kind of how that happened.
Well, I hate to sound like an idiot, but what is Mo and Shemp to you then? If they're his,
those are my great uncles.
Great
so
uncles.
Curly,
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
Curly,
you.
Mo and Shemp are my great uncles, and there was two other brothers that weren't in the business that were the Howards as well. It was Horowitz, then they changed it to Horowitz, and then of course, being Jewish at the time in the 40s and 30s wasn't real popular, so they changed it to Howard, and that was their stage name.
Wow. And now, does Larry and Mo have kids at your age,
grandchildren, and their children are Mo's children are still alive, and grandchildren, and I'm friends with Larry's grandchildren. I'm friends with Shemp's grandchildren, and all of there again. This all came about just like finding out late about being his grandson.
Right.
Having the Stooges being part of my life really transpired. 15, 20 years ago is when it all started up, when I started going to the Three Stooges events in Pennsylvania. And I started meeting my relatives and these great people and the most awesome fans in the world. And so it's just been a ladder of building the relationships and just being part of a very, very special family.
Now, your Curly G gig that you have, are any of Mo and Larry's kids involved, or are you the only
one? No, so Curly G's obviously short for Curly's grandson.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm not like a you know, gang member or anything. It's nothing,
no,
nothing crazy like that.
Right.
I have some very talented friends that I met, and I met them through social media, people that love the Stooges, and I wound up meeting this guy, Andy Pagana, which of course is the big baby in the episodes that I babysit on in our videos, and he's extremely talented, and met a couple other great guys. So I do the video producing and filming with these guys, and the family members we see on occasion when we go to Stooge events, and of course we keep in touch obviously on Facebook. There, most of them are there to be found, and it's just it's wonderful. I wish I could have had stories, and they have wonderful stories because, you know, Shemp was alive, Mo was alive. Even when I was 7 and 8, I believe in 1978, I believe Larry and Mo, it was around that time. So they have memories of, you know, growing up with their famous Stooge parents.
Yeah, well, Curly passed very young, very young. What do you have, a stroke around 46, I think it was, or...
Yeah, and he started having more complications, and then I believe it was 1952,
wow.
He passed.
That's so horrible.
So,
yeah. Do the other grandchildren, they didn't want to be involved, like to do a rebirth of the Three Stooges, or it was just you and, you know, you said...
Well, really, you know, the work that we do isn't really Three Stooges. We kind of just do slapstick. The closest thing that we did to actually doing Three Stooges is in 2018, we actually toured part of the U.S. before the show shut down and did the Three Stooges live on stage, which was absolutely a thrill of a lifetime. And my friend Andy played Curly, and my friend Chris that plays Mo, and Danny who played Larry, and just a host of others, just very talented people. And I played the fifth man, so I got to play different roles, the policeman, the bailiff, and I was kind of planted in the audience as Curly's grandson, and then I get invited to be part of the show. And it was probably the most rewarding, just hearing the amount of laughter in the crowd, and crowds that were not only kids, not only, you know, people in middle age, but especially the seniors. We went to senior centers, and just the laughter was just so loud and so constant that I was just tickled pink that we could bring the laughter back, and to hear them, you know, stay after the show and just thank us and thank me for allowing them to escape from today and just go back to a time that was just a little better for them, you know.
Right. Now, excuse me, you know, you resemble him a little bit.
Oh, that's quite a compliment, lady.
Yeah, I see it. I saw it when I was doing the pictures. I'm like, you know what? He does look pretty much like him, too. That's cool, you know?
It's an honor. I've had I've been at dinner, and I've had people approach me and say, you know what? We were looking over at you, and you look like Curly from the Three Stooges. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he's my grandfather. And then they turn like white, and then they just like, oh my God! I'm like, oh yeah, no, okay, I'm just a person like you are. Just come from a royal family, and I'm so blessed and honored. But yeah, he was a very handsome man. So listen, Toots, I appreciate you saying I look like him.
Well, they were hysterical. They were very talented. I mean, for the time, especially, you know. I mean, they didn't have great effects, you know. You know what I'm talking about, for TV, special effects. Thank you. I'm sorry. I've had a day from hell today. I
no, it's okay,
my
darling.
My mind is scattered. Okay. But, yeah, you know.
They made the most of what they had.
Exactly. They were great at it. That's what I was saying. They were so talented. Everybody loved them. The kids loved them, you know, especially the kids. So You know, and then as boys grew up, they loved them even more, you know. So it was just a great, great show. I haven't seen it in a very long time. Do you have kids?
I do. I have a 20-year-old daughter named Elizabeth Elaine, which is, of course, after my grandmother's name. And she's absolutely wonderful. And I have a beautiful wife named Denise. And I have 3 dogs and 3 cats. And some huge fans or Curly fans know that Curly just adored dogs. And, of course,
yes.
We've taken it on a step further with the cats, and we rescue cats and dogs we love. And I've got an older brother, Darren, who's a musical director and is talented beyond belief, and an older sister named Andrea, she is just remarkably talented as well, a great singer. And we've just been blessed with, you know, being part of this family, and it along with it comes just craziness and talents that just come with the bloodline. And
right. It's definitely
I couldn't be prouder.
I was just going to say, yeah, definitely
it's in the blood. It's all over me. Joanne, I don't know what to do. I just washed off in the shower, and I still got it all over me.
No, the reason I asked if you had kids, did you ever show, are they into the Three Stooges? Obviously, you must have showed them.
Well, since my daughter is 20 now, no. Of course, she's embarrassed of her father. That's what 20-year-olds
cool.
do.
Well, wait. She's embarrassed of her father because you're her father. But if she showed you this and, you know, gave her a background on everything, oh, my God, she'd...
She used to go to the Three Stooges fan clubs as a 8-year-old child, 9-year-old child. She loved it. No, absolutely. She likes Stooges. She loves them. But, she thinks her dad's a nut. She sees my videos and... The stuff I do, but that's the beauty of you know, doing this, like leaving even my little legacy that I can leave and making people laugh and doing comedy. I've been in a couple full feature films where I had small parts. I was in a baby boomer book, and the best part of it is that when I leave this earth, those things will be here forever, and
right.
So I'll leave my mark, and my daughter and her children will be able to look back and be able to see what a nut I was and hopefully keep the legacy alive as well.
Exactly. Now tell me about the Curly G show. What does that really consist of? Everything. I mean, you tell me. Sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, Curly G there again is just short for Curly's grandson. So my YouTube channel is Curly G. But the type of stuff we do, like I said, is usually slapstick type of stuff. I'm a babysitter. You know, babysits a 190-pound baby, and I just get slapped around, and I thoroughly enjoy it. I mean, it's something when they're hitting me, and they're like, "Oh, is that too hard?" I'm like, "Are you kidding me? I was born for this. I was bred to be beat." So I the physical comedy I love, and whether it's that or doing, you know, I have the guys dress up as the Curly and Mo, and I'm with them, and we're doing little Three Stooges shticks. That's kind of what we're doing on the channel. And, of course, there's been a hiatus due to this this COVID nonsense. Mm-hmm. So we're getting hopefully ready to get back and start filming. And I think more than ever, I would have to attest that I think more than ever, laughter is needed. And I'm ready hopefully to heal a lot of people as best I can and make them laugh. And it's not about acting like my grandfather, even acting like the Stooges. It's just, it's my own thing. And it's just, I was born with the register. So I talk like that, not all the time, but sometimes, but it's something I was gifted and born with a high pitched voice. So why not?
Do you sing too?
I do sing a little bit. Yeah.
You might as well use that high pitch something for really good.
Well, I'm just thinking. I've heard your beautiful voice, by the way. I've heard some of your albums.
Oh, it's been a while, honey. It's been a while.
I know, but you are timeless, and you sound great. And if I need to falsetto with you, that's fine. Or if I need to go low, I can go low. We can do a duet. Whatever the listeners want, we'll give it to them.
Oh, sounds great. That sounds great. We'll do a Three Stooges tune. We'll make something
up.
I'm a stooge. He's a stooge. Cause I'm kind of a stooge too. I mean, I you got to make people happy. Cause if you don't make people happy, you're not happy. You know, I don't know. If I'm happy, why can't I share it? Let's get happy.
Absolutely.
People. let's get happy.
More people need to be happy, and I know it's a very tough time right now, but really all you can do is try to work through it, be positive, be happy, and more than anything, you need to be compassionate. I mean, I stress that more than anything, that it's one thing to love, it's one thing to love yourself and to love your family, but you really need to, sometimes love isn't enough. You really just need to be compassionate, because once you have compassion, you'll be compassionate to everybody. That means everybody.
Right.
And I think it'd be a better world if people could just show a little more compassion to each other and not get caught up in any type of nonsense that doesn't allow people to be happy and to love.
I know. I can't figure it out. We were talking last night. Was it last night? Was I on last night? Was it last night? No, on Monday. We were talking. I don't know if you ever heard of Sterling Meyer. She wrote this book about AOM, manifestation of yourself. And she, I said to her, I don't understand why people are so miserable in life. And this book would really help people. So, oh my God. Anyway, I just don't get it either. Why people, it's free to be kind to people. It's
right.
Not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt. Try it. Oh, you know? Anyway.
I hear you.
It's just ridiculous anymore. Well, everybody, right now, they have a reason to be upset. Obviously, there's a lot going on. But, it still could be kind, and we can make it just a little bit better. It doesn't have to be that bad if we can be try to find a happy in there somehow. You got to find
right. Yeah, and this was all dated pre-COVID, just in general. I mean, it's a lot, obviously, tougher right now. But I just, in general, as we get through this, people just, I think, need to be nicer to each other and just be more understanding. And I think it'll be a happier place. I'm hoping so. If not, I'm just going to keep making people laugh.
Exactly. Keep trying. Keep trying to change the world. That's the point, though, right? So.
Yeah, leave our mark somehow in a positive way.
Right, right. Let me ask you this. What did you think of the movie they did? Was it done in the 80s or the 90s? The one with Sean Hayes? I can't remember who played everybody else. Was it called
The
Three Stooges?
The latest version of the Three Stooges movie was in 2012.
Well,
Sean Hayes is Larry, and Will Sasso is Curly.
Yes, Will Sasso.
Yes.
Is in it. Yes, yes.
Yes, actually, I enjoyed it a lot. Prior to seeing the film, I was extremely excited when I heard that there was going to be a project. I mean, obviously, some 40 years later, The Three Stooges is going to be a full feature film.
Yeah.
So when I heard about it, of course, I wanted to be in it, even though I hadn't done any acting or anything yet. I just felt compelled.
I
kept trying and trying. Well, you know what? I by the time I heard about it and stuff like that, it was in basically in post production. But it was one of those things where I kept trying and trying, and then finally I was at work and I was sending a fax and it wasn't working, and I asked one of my colleagues if she could fax this for me. And I said, hey, can you fax this? And she goes, well, what is it? I'm trying to get a hold of the Farrelly brothers because they're doing a Stooge movie. She's like, my husband is doing editing on it right now.
Hmm.
And I'm like, you're kidding me.
Hmm.
And then she goes, no, I'll call him right now. So she called Peter Farrelly. They, my brother and I, were invited up to his ranch. And they showed us, about 20 minutes of the film before it was even finished, and met them. And, they are true Stooge fans. It took them 10 years to write that. They didn't rush it. And it was a little taboo, to do the Stooges, but they were true Three Stooge fans, incredible guys, and they love the Stooges. So they took their time, and I liked it because they made it, they tried to make it a little relevant with some of the things that were going on today. They definitely kept the slapstick in there. There was people getting hit.
It was a cute storyline, too.
And it had little things that you kind of have to watch it a couple times to kind of get, just like
Jules
White did with the original Stooges. There's so many things in it that are funny. It's a testament to their greatness, and it was nothing short of a tribute to the Three Stooges. They weren't a lot of people are like, oh, they're trying to be the Three Stooges. They're not. They were basically paying tribute, doing their own thing. And I was thrilled, and I still am, and I'm hoping there'll be some other stuff coming up.
Yeah, I also enjoyed, I love Sean Hayes and Will. I can't, what's his last name again, Will? Where he was from.
Los Paso?
Yeah, he was originally from In Living Color or Mad TV.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, Mad TV.
Yeah, he was fabulous on that. I love Mad TV. I loved him. And I love Sean Hayes. Oh, my God, he could do anything, too. And I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, the Mo was great
job.
Too.
Yeah, I forgot who played Mo. He wasn't too popular, right?
Theopolopoulos. Yeah, but he was great. I mean, there again, even in our show, the Mo is the glue. I mean, he's
the person who played him.
Yeah, no, I know.
Somebody
yeah,
I know off the top of my head.
I hadn't heard of him until that, but he's a great guy, and he did a great job. He's a strong actor as well.
Right. Well, you can't have the Three Stooges without Mo. It doesn't work.
That's right. It's got to be a good Mo.
Right. I got to ask you this stupid question, because we used to say that this is how you did it. When Mo would poke him in the eyes, did you really put your hand? Do you put your hand up by your nose quick so nobody could see it?
No. They would do that just to block it. Basically, what's happening is they're hitting you basically below your eyebrow. It's happening so quick. So when you're getting poked in the eye, it's just right above your eyes. And they did it over and over and over. And the little bit that I did, I mean, there again, I don't feel no pain because I have sour blood, but there's an art to it. And they were the masters of it. But poking. But to be honest with you, there's several occasions where, and it was usually Mo, even though he was the one applying most of the pain, he had five or six instances where he broke ribs, broke an arm, doing the shorts. So it was rough comedy. Definitely was.
Oh, yeah, they were very physical. So, yeah, I mean, I would imagine in their older days they were probably hurting a lot. That was physical comedy. Yeah, that was definitely, how could you think they wouldn't get hurt? And how would you think that there wasn't a mistake that they poked each other in the eyes at least on more than one occasion in real life? Because we used to say that they put their hand up, like if you held your hand, you know what I'm saying? Has anybody ever brought that
up? Under your nose?
No, not under your nose. If you put your hand flat on the table, right? Flat down.
Yeah.
Pick it up now and put your forefinger from your forehead down your nose with your pinky facing towards whatever you're looking at, not to the side. And so they said people would put their, they said that Curly and Larry would put their fingers up like that, and then Mo would poke. But I said, there's no way that we would not catch that. Because it was too fast. It was done too fast. So I didn't think it was possible. But anyway, that's what we were told, how it was done, when we were kids. So here, let me do it. This is how they do it. Look, I can do it, Stupid kids.
Well, we should be doing a video chat with this audience so they could see how beautiful we are.
Oh, how beautiful you are.
Next time. You are, darling.
No, I got a face for radio. That's why I'm sticking to it. I'm not coming out.
It's a nice face.
Here.
It's a doll face.
No. Anyway, but what else did I want to talk to you about? Now, are you love vaudeville?
Yeah, I love vaudeville. Really, there again, being born in 1965, I grew up watching a lot of...
I'm 64. Oh, God. We're the same age. So we watched the same crap. Okay.
The same stuff, but really musicals were my thing growing up. So
me too.
To summarize all of the great musicals, and that's entertainment one, that's entertainment two, musicals, the West Side Stories and the Sound of Music and all of that, that is just, that really, really is something that's missing today. I mean, we get a little tiny piece here and there, but musicals really drove me. It drove my brother to be a huge talent, an actor, a dancer. He's a musical director today that orchestrates musicals. So musicals really were the thing. And then, of course, the shows, that we were talking about that we used to come home and watch, and even today. And so, just lucky. And the music, even more important, the music of the 60s, 70s, and then into the 80s. The 80s was really important to me. That's when I was 16, 17. And then it just all went bye-bye. I don't know what happened to the music. I mean, there's country music and there's certain things, but rock is my genre.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a few bands that have come out, a handful over the years. But we had so many great bands and so many great movie stars and so many great productions in the day. So, so lucky. So, you know, just so honored to live the life that I've.
We're lucky we had the life we had. These kids today, they don't know what we had. You know, we had nothing, but we had a lot. You know what I mean? We had so much going on. We had so much beautiful feeling, not hate, nothing. You know, it was a beautiful time. Beautiful time.
Yeah, it wasn't about having any money. It wasn't about having any
material shit
belongings. I had I had a Matchbox car. I had some Hot Wheels, and I went inside and I played in the dirt all day.
You were a happy
made day. Up stuff in my head, you know, and you were doing your dollies and playing Tea Party. I don't know what you were doing.
And
were
we
you
had,
doing those kind of things?
Well, and we had bikes.
It was called an imagination. It was an imagination,
Right, we used it. We used it. And you know, we had bikes and rode for miles. And not a big deal.
You were never home. You didn't. Nope. You were got in trouble because you weren't home because you were out riding your bike, like you said. So hopefully, you know, everything comes back. You know, the show comes back, music, people, cell phones will blow up. Hopefully we won't, you know, we'll have to talk on a pay phone or something or a landline again, but I would be okay with it. I really would. I think it's hurting us. It's hurting us a lot, but it is what it is. I can't live in the past.
Sometimes I think technology killed us. It helped advance us, but I think it killed us as human kindness and whatever, human nature. I don't know. Anyway, but do you know if any of the guys ever tried Serious Rules?
You mean as far as the Stooges?
Yeah.
The only one that I know of, I believe Larry did prior to the Stooges, but Shemp, when he left Stooges, he was doing all kinds of serious dramas. In fact, my friend Brian works at Universal. He edits films, like he cleans them up and restores them.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me one day and he's like, I'm watching this old gangster movie and Shemp is like the main gangster. Like
really?
A serious gangster role. And I was like, I had no idea.
Nice.
So I started looking it up and yeah, he's got a lot of credits and a lot of films other than the Three Stooges. So.
Yes, I didn't know if they ever did any serious roles.
I think Shemp did more than most of them. So.
Right.
Now, he's wonderful.
Do you know if they, how did they all meet? And were they the ones who threw this together or somebody saw them individually and said, let's create this group, the Three Stooges. You guys will be great at it.
Well, Shemp and Mo used to sneak off from their farm. They lived in Bensonhurst, New York, I believe at the time. They would sneak off to Coney Island to watch vaudeville.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where they kind of fell in love with the idea, and they started getting bit roles doing vaudeville. And there was the king of vaudeville, per se, was a gentleman named Ted Healy. And so at the beginning, Ted Healy found or came across Mo and Shemp and became Ted Healy and his Stooges.
Mm.
And then so Ted Healy really was the main character, and then the Stooges were the guys that he was slapping around. And then Larry got involved, and it was Larry and Shemp and Mo, and then Shemp left, and they brought in Curly, and then, you know, things evolved, obviously, further with Curly being in it. And then after my grandfather got sick, Shemp came back for a little while, and then the Curlys after my grandfather were involved. And, you know, when I was young, I didn't like the other Curlys. And this was even before I knew that Curly was my grandfather.
Right.
I just didn't think they were good. I didn't think it was because the boyish charm and the charisma of Curly Howard just wasn't in these other gentlemen. But as I obviously matured and got older, I realized that, you know, these other Curlys kept the Stooges going well into the 70s. And Larry and Moe were the staples that these other actors were able to keep the show going. And that's a testament to how great of actors they really were. They weren't Curly Howard, but they were Curlys, and they kept the Stooges going. So I feel sorry for all the times I said bad things, but I always say good things about them now because they deserve it.
Well, how did they meet Larry? Was Larry just a neighborhood friend, or?
I forget Larry's name. Larry was a violinist in Philadelphia. He came from the Philadelphia area, and I believe, I don't know. So I don't remember who chose him or who saw him, but somehow they saw him and they gave him a go at it, and it worked. And Larry is there again, part of the epoxy of the Three Stooges. He's so great. There's no one can be him. He's so great. They all had their own special niche that they brought, and when they brought it together, it was timeless.
Right, right. Because if they ever broke up, it wouldn't work. I don't think it would. I don't know.
Not at all.
Right. Well, now I got to ask you this. I always ask a stupid question, and this is a stupid
question.
Fair enough. What's your favorite Three Stooges movie or favorite skit?
My favorite short is Disorder in the Court.
Mm-hmm.
It's a courtroom scene, which is I find it hysterical. We did that scene in our Three Stooges live show, so I was the bailiff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, raise your right hand, take off your hat, and with the judge and everything. It's a classic episode. There's about two or three that I love, and the other ones they're all enjoyable. But yeah, there are a few. Men in Black is great.
Mm.
There's a few that I absolutely think are hysterical, and all of them are funny, and it's you know, it's just something to be very proud of. And they will be here long after, you know, when we're up in heaven. They're going to be here for a long, long time.
Yep. Did they ever do anything with Abbott and Costello, a movie or a short or a skit or anything?
Even afterwards? I know it's...
No, when they were just as the Three Stooges and Abbott and Costello.
Oh, like a movie?
Yeah, anything. I think that would have been great.
They did shorts. I think they did. Yeah, I think they did Abbott and Costello Go to Space or Abbott and Costello Meet the Monster or Frankenstein. So they did short movies, I per se, other than
together,
their
though?
Series,
I mean,
their shorts.
That's what I mean. Were they in the same movie together?
No, I know of. I don't believe so. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I didn't think so, but that would be cool, huh? That would have been great.
Oh, my God.
That would have been phenomenal.
With the Marx Brothers in there, too? I mean, might as well just throw them all in there, all the
great.
Yeah,
that would have been great. Now, the reason I asked you about vaudeville, and we grew up around the same time, do you remember when cable first came out? And, you know, they would play the same thing over and over again. And there was
the Beach Channel.
Yeah, and there was, I think it was HBO. It was a vaudeville show, and it was so good. It had Dodie Fields in it. I saw so much good stuff when cable first came out.
Really?
Yeah, Dodie Fields, Victor Borga stuff. I loved that. Not that he's vaudeville, but, you know, I'm thinking about all the things that were. And Bette Midler had The Divine Miss M out at the time.
Wow.
It was great. Yeah, I loved that. All that. I remember it so much.
Yeah.
It was great.
Great
and,
stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
So, what does your house look like? Do you have a little shrine to the Three Stooges? You have an area?
I have a very small, I have a cabinet full of trinkets, and you know, a lot of them I actually purchased. My mother gave me some pictures of the boys with my grandmother, and then I have a picture of my grandmother Elaine showing off her engagement ring with Curly to her parents. So I have a couple of specialty pieces that are unique, but most of the stuff over the years I purchased from Shop Knucklehead, the Three Stooges Superstore. If you need Three Stooges merchandise, I'm not affiliated with them. I'm plugging them because I love the Three Stooges, and that's where you can get stuff. But yeah, I don't have a ton of stuff, and there again, because of my mom's relationship or lack of relationship with Curly, there wasn't a lot of keepsakes. Yeah.
Right. Wow.
I got this look, I got this voice, and that's the best thing that they could have left me.
Absolutely. And the face. Yeah, you're very handsome, and you do resemble Curly. You absolutely do. Now, I had a question in my head. I hate this. Bear with me. I'm sorry. I don't write things down.
That's okay.
I'm just hanging out, talking with you. And as we're
that's what we're doing. We're just hanging out, talking.
Something comes to my head, and then I lose it. Oh, shoot. Oh, have you written a book, hon? I think you should write a book, have you?
I haven't written a book. This is the thing, and I just found this out not too long ago. I kept thinking that you start out at the beginning of your story, you write about your story, and when you reach your pinnacle, then you write your book.
Yeah.
And then someone told me, Brad, if everyone did that, everyone would die before they ever wrote anything. That's not how it is. They're like, what you told me in 15 minutes could have already been 2 bestsellers, so don't wait. You have so much to tell, and your story is so interesting. So it is absolutely something that I'm working on.
Good.
And it is, as far as the Three Stooges being part of my life, even though the dark parts before they weren't, and it not being told and not being able to talk about it, and then getting to the part where I'm at the conventions, and then I'm doing the Three Stooges live shows, and I'm talking to you and the family members and all that, it's a great story, and it's just getting better. So, yes, I definitely need to – I believe I would call it Forbidden Rights. It might be called Curly G is Forbidden Rights. And it really is about – there again, so many things were taboo or forbidden for us that we knew about, that we know about. And it's just now basically embracing those things we're finding out and living for what we can today.
Were you disappointed that your grandmother never told you or your mom never told you?
Yes. I was probably most disappointed that I didn't get a chance to meet Mo and Larry when they were in the picture hospital. My brother did, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand. I was, 7 years old. And then it was like, were they not asking for their nephews? Then I started thinking, but really there was a lot of intertwining within the family itself. There was litigation and all kinds of stuff that pushed the family apart. So, not only the distance with my mother and her father, there was other stuff going on. So I don't have any resentment. I just wish I could have met them. Obviously wish I could have met Curly and gave him a huge hug and told him what a genius he is, how much people love him.
Right. So, well, I think we have a caller. Would you like to take a call?
Sure.
Hang on one moment. Let's see who we got. Hello. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. You're on with Bradley Server. You have a question or just want to say hi?
Yes. I just wanted to say I like Curly with the Three Stooges. I still watch them. My uncle, he's a huge fan.
That's terrific.
And,
so glad you still enjoy them.
And I wished the movies would have done a better job.
Have you watched Brad's YouTube channel, Curly G?
Yes. I subscribe to it and watch it daily.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Thank you.
Very nice.
That's so kind. Thank you so much.
Very nice.
We'll have a lot more. We'll bring you some new content as soon as we get to, we're allowed to get together and make some laughter for you.
Oh, and can I say one thing?
Anything you want.
Certainly.
Sounds pretty good.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
James Parker. I'm calling from Brazyville, Tennessee.
Tennessee. I can hear that accent. Well, thank you so much for calling, sir. Do you have a question for Brad as well, or that's it?
Well, how many Stooges are there actually? I've heard 5. I've heard 4. I've heard 6.
7 altogether. You have
Let's see.
Mo, Larry, Curly, Shamp.
Curly. Shamp. Curly Joe.
And then you had Curly Joe and then Joe Dorita.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, and then what they considered the seventh stooge would be Emil Sitka, who was the supporting actor, one of the more famous supporting actors. They considered him the seventh stooge. But, yeah, six stooges and Emil Sitka and some of the other supporting actors just played such a big role in the shorts. So they all deserve credit.
Well, now there's eight because there's you too, Brad. You gotta change that
too.
Number to eight. You gotta change that number to eight.
Yeah. I'm a step, you know, a couple steps down. I'm a grand stooge, not a stooge.
Yeah.
But it's I appreciate you watching the videos and loving the Stooges, and I appreciate you keeping the laughter alive. You're a good man.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think they deserve an award, legendary award myself.
Yeah, something. Yeah, they definitely deserve.
I agree.
Major recognition. Well, thank you so much for calling in, hon. You have a happy new year, and you take care. Thank you so much.
You too. It's been an honor talking to you.
Oh, thank
you.
You as well.
Have a good night. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
You too. Bye bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye. Oh, that was sweet.
What a nice man.
Yes. I heard the accent. I'm like, uh oh. I got to ask him where he's calling. Tennessee.
What a sweet man. Very nice.
You're out in L.A., right?
Yes, Southern California.
And did you grow up there?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in the,
But they're not from California. Like you said, they're from New York.
No, they're from New York. Yeah, they were born in New York, and then they came to Hollywood, and rest is history.
Yeah.
They live in Studio City area around there. Yeah.
Good, nice. So I know you said you got new content coming up and considering the book. Anything else going on?
I've got a couple scene roles that I'm in a project. It's called Agents of Project Blue Book.
Uh-huh.
Ed Sizemore and a couple other actors that people may know are in it, and it's been a project. It's been in the works for a little while, and I'm going to be playing a part in that. So I'm excited. I did the first film I was in was called Cynthia. It was a comedy horror film where I played it was a stunt role where I actually, flop around and, deliver a box and have to flop around. And the whole structure of the movies was so entertaining for me. And then I was able to get another role. It wasn't a big role. I didn't have to worry about my lines because I was a deaf mute. It was called Exorcism at 60,000 Feet. It's got a crazy cast in it, and it's a crazy movie. It's not for children, but it's definitely it'll be a cult classic for sure. It was a lot of fun. The cast was amazing, and I think what I want to do is continue to find projects and do films, and then honestly, I'd love to host the Three Stooges on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be, just kibitzing and doing a little shtick before you announce them. If it's a construction one, I'm dressed up like a construction guy and I'm doing kind of fun stuff and just interacting with the audience. I think that would be great. So I'm happy that the Stooges are on MeTV on Saturday. So they're
really?
Definitely fine. Yeah, they are. They're on MeTV on Saturdays at 6 p.m., I believe. Pacific time, and that's great. I mean, it's great that it's not just holidays where they're playing marathons, which are great, but it's on every week now. So hopefully, I'll be joining them at MeTV. If not, I will. There'll be a broadcaster that'll want me, right? Who doesn't want Curly T for a little bit?
Exactly.
Get smacked around.
Yeah.
I need a publicist. If there's any
that
wants me,
I got two ideas for you. You should call that place that you like to buy the little trinkets from and tell them that you should do advertising for them as Curly G. And you should also do the idea to introduce the Stooges on YouTube for now.
Yeah.
And do it that way. Because
I think it's
that's
great.
The only way people are doing anything now is online. So.
I hear you. That's where it's at.
I don't know. So I hope you had a nice holiday. Do you have a nice holiday?
I had a nice holiday. I had a great Christmas. And, you know, it was the most unfortunate thing. Of course, my mother is, she was born in 1938. She was 82, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the first Christmas that we, you know, we out of safety precautions, we didn't have my mother over for Christmas. So it was, you know, obviously toned down quite a bit. And so that part of it was, you know, a little sad, but there again, I still, you know, I go crazy with the decorations. You know, I just so the listeners know, although I was born Jewish, my faith, I've always been a Jew for Jesus. I've always celebrated Christmas my whole life. And so I'm basically covered. So whatever happens, people just need to call me and make sure, and I'll be grabbing everybody. But I had a great Christmas, and I'm looking forward to this year being over. So I think I'm definitely going to celebrate tomorrow. I'm going to hit the links, play a little golf, drink a lot of beer, and then I'm celebrate and wake up, and hopefully this little nightmare we're in is going to be over soon.
I'm hoping too. Well, I'm glad you'll be having a good time tomorrow. I'll be working like a dog. Oh, my God. I'm not looking forward to it. Oh, last day of the year. It's killer, man. I'm telling you. It's just been nuts. I can't even know.
Are you doing enough? Do you have a show to do, or are you just...
No, I couldn't. I loved every minute of it. I had amazing guests on throughout the month of December, but, I mean, I think I did at least 3 shows a week, and I only normally do 2 a week, and I just... I overdid it, and work was crazy, you know, my day gig, and now that it's year end, we're getting slammed, so I wasn't stupid enough to book New Year's Eve, so, you know.
So I get to end the crazy, you get to end the crazy year with me?
Yes, I'm looking
what
so
an
forward
honor.
About that. Yes, thank you, it is.
Thank you, I hope your listeners are happy, I hope they're enjoying this.
I'm happy, you kidding me?
I will just, you know what, as long as you're happy.
Oh,
come on, it's all for Joanne. You deserve it, darling.
No, thank you. Everybody does. I wish the happiest New Year for everybody, and be safe. Obviously, we're not going anywhere, so just be careful. And, you know, I always say New Year's Eve is a night for amateurs, you know? So.
Right. Yeah, I'll be in bed by 8.
I haven't partied on a New Year's Eve, and God, I can't even tell you. You know, but anyway,
I'll be thinking about you when I do make my toast, and I'll be thinking about your listeners, your wonderful audience, and just everyone in the world, actually, just like I said, love, compassion, and laughter. Just everyone take a moment to just find some way to bring happiness inside you, and laughter seems to bring that out. So I'm hoping we can keep the laughter alive in 2021.
Well, laughter is the best medicine, you know?
Absolutely, darling.
Well, Brad, thank you so much. It was a pleasure getting to know you, and I had a lot of fun. And thank you for honoring me as my last show for the year. I didn't even realize it, you know that? I got so overwhelmed with everything. I didn't even think that this could have been an extravaganza.
Well, it's an honor to be on the Applause Radio Show and to be with you, Joanne. And I wish you the happiest new year. And I want to thank you so much for having me on the show. And God bless you.
Thank you. And you too. And to your family and everybody, and to everybody out there, it's the same. So I thank you again, sir. It was a pleasure. And keep in touch. Let me know if you do anything with the book and stuff, and come on back.
You got it. Thank you so much.
I'd love to let everybody know about it.
All righty. Thank you, dear.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Brad.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
Bye. Happy New Year. Hey, guys, you know what? I did, you know, we could have did like a big thing tonight. We could have had a couple of maybe the live music. I don't know how it sounds to you guys. I don't listen back to the show, so I don't know what it sounds like when the guests perform live. I mean, to hear in my headphones, it sounds okay. So that would have been great if we could have got some live performances tonight. I apologize for that. But that was great talking to Brad. Oh, Brad, what a nice guy. What a nice guy. Could you imagine growing up not knowing, watching the Three Stooges and not knowing that that's your grandfather? That's crazy. But it's so glad he found out. That's fabulous. I'm carrying on the name in his own art form with his heart. So, you know, that's fabulous. And I definitely have to check out his YouTube channel. I never got a chance to, and I'm sure it's fabulous. But, well, I thank you all. I hope everybody, I can't even say, hope you had a great year. It's just been one bad thing after another. So, in the world, personally, including myself, I mean, it's just been shitty all around. But there are pieces in there that you, that there is happiness in there. You got to find it and find your happiness. I want to say thank you to the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, KWB Wines in South Africa, Teach for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Lenoka Harbor, New Jersey, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, Poison Designs, New Jersey, Think Big Picture LLC in New York, The Observer Newspaper in Kearny, New Jersey, Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, GenieBottles.com, and H21 Hand Sanitizer. Thank you again. I'm not going to tell you who's coming up in January. The calendar's behind me. I can't move, so I'm sorry. And what else? Great guest coming up. The calendar will be updated probably over the weekend, I think. I think that's possible. And some great guests coming up. I'm excited about that. So, again, my deepest sympathies to my friends who know Dylan Wells, her family as well, and you fans. I'm a fan too. So, and my heart is breaking for those that I know who know her personally, because they're all wonderful people that I know that I've been gotten to know while doing the show. And I don't know them personally to be together like in a room or anything, but I feel like I don't know, that's how I feel. I love them, so they're wonderful people. They've been nothing but kind to me, and they didn't have to be, and that's great. So I love that. So anyway, Happy New Year, everybody. Let's hope things get better for everybody, and just be kind. Take care. Thank you, Bradley Server. Check out Curly G on YouTube, folks. It's probably hilarious because he is, and I can't wait to see it too. Take care. Be kind. Be kind.